So today we're going to talk about doing L&D in small and medium-sized businesses. It's part of a series I'm doing for SMBs. L&D is just as important for them as they are for big businesses. However, they often have less budget flexibility and dedicated resources. So what's important and how do we get the work done? And here we are on the HR Hub podcast with me, Andrea Adams. Keep listening to learn about this topic and all kinds of things related to HR. You can also find me on YouTube. Today, my guest is again James Aird. James is an interesting guy. He has a master's of education from Harvard. He learned the L&D trade by doing it for organizations in conflict areas. I think that's what he calls them. And some of those include Iraq, the Congo. And I guess when you think about doing L&D or any kind of HR work in those areas, it takes on a whole new significance and meaning. Hi, James. How are you?
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for having me on here.
Well, thanks for coming on again. So I am not going to get you to describe your background and conflict areas like I did in the last one. If people want to know, it's really interesting. Go check out the other one. But we're going to talk about small, medium businesses. I'm going to refer to those as SMBs throughout the episode. But why should they be investing in L&D?
Yeah, there are so many reasons, but I guess one that's easy to articulate or explain, like big businesses, small, medium businesses can identify behaviors that they want to change or teach. They can identify information their employees need to learn. They need this. They need to educate their employees, whether that is formal and structured, or if it's informal and it happens through kind of organic mentoring and learning by doing. But they should do that, and they should care about their employees' growth. So, yeah.
So what challenges are SMBs commonly facing with their L&D programs, and what can they do about it?
Well, I think the biggest challenge for small and medium-sized businesses is they don't have comprehensive L&D or even any sort of structured L&D in place. Now, they have some one-off trainings that are there because they're required for compliance and in other areas. But most of them, the biggest challenge is that they don't have a program in place. Now, that might be because they don't understand the impact of training. It might be because they don't have the budget or they're not prioritizing the budget to include learning, training, and development. But there are so many challenges in this space with identifying where to implement it and how to forward it. But the good news is there are so many options, and even small businesses have access to a quite comprehensive learning and development.
That begs the question, where can they access this learning and development?
No, it's a great question. So when you look at really small business, there are options, and we all know of LinkedIn Learning. It's not going to be the full learning program, or it's not going to solve every issue you have where you need performance-based and information-based, the transfer of knowledge and skills, but it's a great start. We're all familiar with it, and you can provide your employees with accounts. Now, it's really cool is that if you want to go a step further, you can sign up with a learning management system, your own academy, which allows you to collect data metrics from your employees. And some of them are quite affordable. I refer a lot of people to Talent LMS. They're a really good one. And Learn Worlds. These are LMSs that allow small, medium, and large businesses to add their own coursework or provide their employees a ready-made e-learning. But they're a step above LinkedIn Learning in that they provide or collect the data for the learning metrics and allow you to add custom coursework.
Okay. You say they're quite affordable. Can you ballpark this for somebody out there? What does that mean, quite affordable?
Last time I checked, I believe the licenses for LinkedIn Learning for corporate were between $10 and $20 a user, a seat. I'd have to check that again. Because every time I'm asked, it's next door.
Yes. Okay, I'll just say that LinkedIn, and they're all kind of just changing their pricing structure a bit this way and that way, right? So, yes.
It's good. That's crazy. And then Talent LMS and the LMSs are usually structured or tiered by the amount of active learners, which in this case would be employees. Now, if you have 50 or less employees, you can get Talent LMS for, I want to say, a couple hundred bucks a year. Very affordable.
It is affordable.
It is very affordable.
Way less than I thought it would be.
Yeah, and they're actually one of the cheapest and high quality platforms. The thing though is when you sign up for Talent LMS and you have somebody or you yourself builds out the learning management system, you need content to put in. You need those courses. Now LinkedIn Learning has those courses.
Mm-hmm.
For Talent LMS, you got to either create the courses, which cost money, or find another vendor like LinkedIn Learning to provide you with ready-made e-learning coursework. So there all are pros and cons to both, but they are both affordable, very affordable, at least from the entry point of view. And that's all, in my opinion, you need to push the dial and get some buy-in from senior leadership at a small or medium-sized company.
You talked about, briefly, at the beginning of that answer, you talked about performance-based learning or information-based learning. And that made me curious, what's the difference?
So when we do learning needs analyses, we have to identify if it is performance-based. So we are developing a skill or changing a habit, physical, or if it is information-based, knowing the rules or standard operating procedures.
Yeah.
Information requiring, you have to remember, but you're not physically building a skill that changes your performance directly.
What role should the leader of an organization be playing in L&D and the leader of a small or medium-sized business be playing in L&D?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's quite misunderstood and across so many industries. I think the leader of a company or a business should be heavily involved in L&D. And when we look at, for example, Jack Welch from General Electric, he created the chief learning officer role. He was so invested in the space. And I think the leader of an organization should be so invested personally in tying the learning output, the goals of learning to the business objectives of the organization. Because looking forward, proactive learning and development into the future, you can align where you need to be and what your high level strategic goals are with the learning and development. For example, we need to get up to speed and be ahead of the curve on some of the artificial intelligence training, or else our employees are going to be using ChatGPT and pulling up wrong content and breaking privacy, regular rules or whatever. So I think they need to be there and align learning and development with the goals of the actual business. Now that's proactive, but also reactively, like filling in gaps, identifying gaps where people are slow and they're not up to speed and they don't know enough about this product or about this procedure. The leader needs to be aware of all of that. Not every detail, but make sure that it's in alignment with those, those quarterly goals from the highest of the high levels.
And as an organization grows, when should they be investing in an LMS?
Great question. I'd say in my experience, rolling out LMSs for clients, I think at 50 employees, it's a good time.
Okay.
However, if you have less than 50, you can still, I strongly suggest rolling out LinkedIn Learning or one of those other aggregates that provides ready-made e-learning.
When you start developing their LMS for their 50 employees, what goes into it and how many courses or pieces of content are they going to have put in there?
Yeah, so it depends on the client, of course, and what they do, also what industry they're in. But there are videos, there are one pagers, there are job aids, there are handouts, and there are fully self-paced courses. So there's a lot of what you can do, they can put in regular traditional training you can do into that LMS. Think of the LMS as the school, like the infrastructure, the schoolhouse.
Yeah.
The learning content is coming from outside, but it's being brought out like inside that school, inside that LMS.
So much of the policies, it could be your finance policies, your tech policies, your HR policies. you don't have to train on them per se, but you do have to educate employees on many of those. Do those belong in the LMS?
Yeah, for sure. If you have the right security and privacy protocols put in place, that are those, what you're speaking about, are examples of information-based learning. And it's very, your training, that's very important. So obviously, yes, a big fan of that, putting that stuff into the LMS in policy document form, or if you want to take it a step further, have an instructional designer reformat that content into more fun, engaging e-learning. So, you know, the memorization of that content, it becomes more usable knowledge. But there are so many things you can do with the LMS. Another key highlight that even the lower cost LMSs have is the integration of virtual training. So if you're an HR professional and you're onboarding an employee, within that LMS infrastructure, you have your calendar and you can set up instructor-led training and video sessions. So it can all be housed in that LMS, a lot of different things. It's pretty neat.
Do you lose, by having an LMS, do you lose the personal touch of like Sally employee? Have that conversation to learn these things with an individual as opposed to not having a conversation. In fact, just going and sitting down and looking at a computer.
Yeah, you lose a ton. But, you know, here's the thing with the LMS, it is only one component of your learning and development organization. So we call it blended because it includes asynchronous online, but also in person. We're virtually, you know, connected. But you need both. You need a combination, an amalgamation of both that in-person touch. Could be informal mentoring, could be formalized training, bring an actual trainer in for something like CPR or team building. But you need that amalgamation. So it also includes the opportunity for e-learning because, like I said, the young people are graduating. You know, they're up on tech and they're big fans and they're comfortable with it. And it's something they expect.
Okay. If a small organization, small, medium-sized business does have the money to hire somebody to help out with this, what do you suggest?
An organization or a company, depending on what, you know, how much time they have and how they want to prioritize, I think an instructional designer is low cost and they can do a lot in terms of building coursework. Above that, though, for strategizing learning and development, and there are a lot of great HR consultants out there that you know they should be using anyways that have enough, you know, good information on like kind of how to structure L&D and help them with it. But I'd say bring in an instructional designer or hire a consultant.
Okay. All right. Where can someone, as I always close these off, where can someone learn more?
Yeah, for sure. So the Association for Talent Development, also known as ATD, they're an absolute powerhouse in the space and they put out really good content. You can check them out and Google them. They're a big player. The other website is elearningindustry.com. They allow other or regular people to post. And of course, those, you know, the content's vetted. So you have a very wide range of people contributing to elearningindustry.com, but it's a great resource, especially for those who are interested in more than traditional L&D, interested in the tech, you know, the LMS, all that kind of stuff, learning metrics and data. Elearningindustry.com is a great resource. So those two, and then my website for consultative advice or more information about what I do. My organization is EduPivot, EduPivot.io.
Hey, all right. I will put those links in the show notes. Well, thanks, James. This may seem self-serving, but it seems to me that you could really make strategic use of consultants in this space to maximize, you know, the quality of what you get, but minimizing the amount of money because employees are expensive. But we have reached the end of this episode. Thanks for listening out there, and we'll catch you next time when I talk with another insightful guest.